We are the waiting ones, longing for the day to come when we are no longer waiting on the one who can save us from ourselves. Waiting with bated breath for hope to reach out its hand from heaven and heal our helpless hearts. Waiting for a light to spark, a light to dawn, a light to diffuse the dark we've drawn like curtains over our souls. Waiting for the promise to unfold like a map leading us to the treasure of treasures so we can behold and believe. Waiting for peace to supersede our anxieties and flow like a river through a dry and weary land where there is no water. Waiting for the Father to see fit to find us in our pit, pining in our sin, the spiritual slum we lived in. But when the fullness of time had come, He sent forth His only Son, incarnate one, the manifestation of God in the flesh, the epitome of a promise kept. He left heaven's majesty so we no longer have to be waiting. The birth of a baby, a king, come to redeem the world He created. God, born in a borrowed stable, the light of man in a makeshift cradle. This is not a fable. The one whom we have waited for is here. Peer into the manger and behold Him who welcomes the stranger and breaks the chains of every captive. Our Maker, our Savior, our Master is here, casting our fear into the ocean of His love. Emmanuel, God with us. Go shout it on the mountain, 'cause our waiting is done.
Welcome to Christmas Eve worship at First Baptist Church. We're delighted to be together. We're here this afternoon to worship the God who came to earth, took on flesh. For what purpose? To ransom sinners like us from every corner of the globe. All praise to Him. If you're new to our church, we're delighted you're here to worship with us. Thank you for coming. We want you to be comfortable. We want you to know what to expect. And so this afternoon, we're going to be singing some songs together. We're going to be hearing some scriptures read. We'll invite young kids to come up for a children's story. And we'll be hearing God's word proclaimed. This Christmas Eve service on a Saturday isn't when we normally meet. We normally meet, we want to let you know, we normally meet Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:45. But tomorrow, being Christmas morning, we're going to have just one service, and that's at 9 o'clock. And so if you want to come back tomorrow, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for worship again. If you have questions about our church, you're wondering about this or that, one place to find a question answered would be in the foyer. There's a welcome center there. Another would be our website, fbcmedford.com, and so you could look there. Parents, tonight, this afternoon, the nursery's open but unstaffed. As well, there's a room 119 right next to the kitchen, right over here where I'm pointing. And that room is just open as well, unstaffed. In both of those rooms, there's a live video feed of what's going on right now. And so if it would help you, parents, to take your littlest ones to either of those places, you can feel free to do that anytime. At the end of our worship this afternoon, we're going to be sharing lighting some candles as we sing. And so you should have gotten a candle as you come in. Couple tips. One would be, so how do we keep candle wax from getting all over the place? And so one tip that I heard that tonight is so what's going to happen is Pastor Mike's going to light a candle from that candle and then come down and he'll light usher's candles. And then the ushers will come down and light on the end of every row and you'll pass yours along and lighting the one next to you. And so if you take the lighted candle and you just hold it up, rather than do this with it, that'll help. And then take the unlighted one and hold it horizontally over the lighted one. So that's a little tip. The second thing I wanted to say is, hey, parents, you know, for young kids, candle fire might be frightening, or it might be a little too thrilling. So if you have young kids, use your usual discretion and care to rather not you want them to participate. If you didn't get a candle when you came in and you want one, ushers, if you would raise your hand right now and ushers will find you. Anybody didn't get a candle and needs one? Okay, here's a couple. Anybody over there? No? Okay. All right. Joe, right here in the front. A few. Thank you. All right. Well, let's pray for God to join us and be with us now as we're here to worship him. Would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, you are wonderful and gracious to us. And it's right for us to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Many of us have plans to celebrate later today and tomorrow. But it is oh so right to be here now, to include worshiping you with our church family as part of our celebrating Jesus. We all need a Savior, and oh, what a joy it is that you've sent one. Would you please now give us wholehearted worship? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are delighted to gather and sing and worship through song and through his word. I have three passages that I'm going to read to you, and they're going to be up on the screen as well. As you hear the words, I want you to think, who this is describing, that's why we've gathered to worship this afternoon. That's who we've gathered to worship. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Colossians 1:15 through 17, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Please stand with us as we worship this one who we owe all of our adoration.
Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
continue worshiping. We will sing the first Noel. Now, most of this will be familiar. There's a few parts in this song, however, that have a little bit of an alternate melody. And so we're going to lead you as well as we can, but just encourage you to focus on how the words help us to think about why Jesus came.
I get to read the children's story tonight, this afternoon. So if you would like to listen to this up close, you're welcome to come up to the steps at this time. come on up. The pages will be on the screen, too, for those of you who want to see from a distance. Come on up. You guys can find a spot. You guys can fill in. Hi. Oh, thank you. Can you all hear me? You might want to turn this way so you can see the pages, okay? Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. Hey. Find a spot. The story we're going to read, you guys can you see? You can turn this way. There you go. This is called The Christmas Promise, and it's by Allison Mitchell, and the pictures are by Catalina, I don't actually know how to say her last name. My best guess is Eckerberry. I'll have to look that up. The Christmas Promise. A long time ago, so long that it's hard to imagine, God promised a new king. He wasn't any ordinary king like the ones we see on TV or in books. He would be different. He would be a new king, a rescuing king, a forever king. And do you know what? One precious night, God kept his Christmas promise. Would you like to know how he did it? You're supposed to say yes. Okay. The Christmas story starts with an angel. Whoosh! He came from God to see Mary. The angel had a special message. Mary, you're going to have a baby. He will be a special baby. God promises that your baby is going to be a king. Not for a little time, but forever and ever. He will be the forever king. Mary was going to marry Joseph. So God sent another angel. Whoosh. He came to see Joseph. The angel had a special message. Mary is going to have a very special baby, the angel said to Joseph. Her baby is going to be king, and he will rescue his people. He will be a rescuing king. God had promised that this new king would be born in a little city called Bethlehem. And that's where Mary and Joseph went. But Bethlehem was very busy with lots and lots and lots of people. So when the baby was born, he had to sleep in a manger instead of a bed. A manger is where animal food goes. All the other mangers in Bethlehem held food for hungry animals to munch, but this manger held a baby. He was God's special new king. The shepherds in the fields had such a surprise. It was quiet and dark, and the sheep were snoozing when, whoosh, an angel popped into the sky. Now the sky was bright, and the shepherds were so scared. But an angel had a special message for them. Don't be afraid. I have wonderful good news for you, the angel said. God's chosen king has been born tonight. He is going to rescue his people just as God promised. He will be the rescuing king. Then lots and lots of other excited angels joined in to celebrate. They were all over. The shepherds were really excited. They went rushing to see the new king, and there he was, lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. But they weren't the only ones who had heard the good news about the promised new king. Some wise men living far, far away had also been sent a message. It was quiet and dark, and they were watching the stars when, whoosh, a new star popped into the sky. The star had a special message. The wise men knew what it meant. A very special king had been born, a king for all of God's people. This child was the promised new king. The wise men were so excited, they went out on a long journey to see the new king. And there he was, just as the star had shown them. I'm kind of surprised. Everything God promised came true. There are lots and lots of different kings in the world, but God sent the greatest king of all. He sent a new king, a rescuing king, a forever king. Here he is. And do you know what this king's name is? His name is Jesus. And the scripture says that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. And so Jesus was born as God the King, and he came to save people like you and like me from our sin. And that's good news, isn't it? Now, that's the end of our book story today. If you'd like, when you go back to your seats, if you'd like to take a candy cane with you, you can. So I'm going to grab the basket. And before you go back to your parents, you can get a candy cane. There you go. You take one.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as these shepherds were going about their everyday business of keeping watch over their flock, you intervened. You intervened, pointing them to the good news, the Word of God, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, like with the shepherds, we go about the business of our lives. Often our attention is only fixed upon that which is seen with our physical eyes. But today I ask that you would intervene. That you would intervene in each of our lives to point us to the glorious grace of your Son, Jesus. So open our spiritual eyes that we may see you and your word with faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's good to see you today. Thanks for joining us here at First Baptist Church. I'm the lead pastor here. Mike is my name. And I'll share a little bit about myself. As a kid, I grew up attending church because That's what my parents did. I was one of those kids. I went to church because that's what my parents did. And so other than the fact that it seemed like a positive thing to do, I really didn't know why we went to church every week, why we kind of had that commitment as a family. And I remember thinking, when I grow up and I can make my own decisions, I'm not going to do church. Well, God had a different plan, as you can see. At about the same time as I had those thoughts and was wrestling with that, I asked some questions. And some of the questions were, what's going to happen to me when I die? Am I just going to float around in space? Will I be able to think or feel? And if Jesus lived about 2,000 years ago and died, what does that have to do with me in my life today? So about this time, our youth group at the church, I appreciate youth ministry. Amber, thank you so much for what you do and so many youth volunteers here, because what you do matters. God's using you in his plan of drawing teens to himself. Because I remember back when I was in youth group, and I didn't really want to be there. But my parents, they made me go on this week-long retreat. It was called Leadership Lab. And so I went, my friend and I went, actually. And I remember we walk into this giant auditorium. There's about 500 other high school students sitting in this auditorium, and they stand up and they start singing these songs and doing these silly hand motions. And I remember it like it was yesterday. My friend and I, we just sat on the end with our arms crossed. We just didn't want to be there. That was our heart. Now, later that week, something happened in my life. Because my friend and I, we decided that it would be pretty cool to take a bunch of wood chips from a path that led to the auditorium, and that we would go to a parking lot and we'd spell out the phrase of the week. They had a phrase that they wanted us to know and walk away with that week, and I did. The phrase is this: to be seized by the living God is a fierce and terrible and beautiful thing. Business as usual sort of falls by the wayside. I didn't anticipate the response that I got when we put those wood chips on the parking lot. Many people started talking about what they saw in the wood chips. It was kind of the talk of the whole retreat. Many people actually said that the wood chips pointed them to God. And it was through this experience, and I don't know exactly how, but God was using it. He began to show me a couple things in my life. He showed me that I was on a spiritual journey trying to make sense of life, trying to figure things out. And then he also showed me that Jesus was somehow the answer to my questions. But I didn't know how yet. I didn't put all the pieces together. But ultimately, what I realized was I was on this spiritual journey trying to find something. But someone had already found me. And so looking back, what I didn't fully realize at the time is that I was looking for someone to follow, someone to trust, someone to give my life to. I was looking for someone to be king of my life, someone to lead me, to shepherd me. And I realized the most amazing thing, that the king had already found me. And that king is Jesus. It's Jesus. Today we're actually going to look at how we are called to respond to the coming of King Jesus. Here's the main idea from the text that Nick just read for us. Because King Jesus is here, we must worship him. Because King Jesus is here, we must worship him. That's the only response we have to King Jesus when we understand who he is. Let's look back at the story. In verse 8, we see that the shepherds, they're just minding their own business. They're keeping watch over the flock. The shepherds are expecting just another normal day in the field with the sheep. They're in the same place with the same sheep doing their same ordinary job. And then all of a sudden, they see this angel. The glory of the Lord is shown around them. The shepherds, they're filled with great fear. I mean, can you even imagine? I mean, maybe you clock in at Nestle or at the hospital and this angel just shows up. You see the glory of God face to face. You better believe you'd be afraid, right? And so if that's not enough to make your heart jump out of your skin, the angel starts talking to these shepherds. Look at verse 10. It says, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Did that talking angel just say that the Savior, the Messiah, the King is born? The King that the scriptures have been talking about for hundreds of years, he's born? The King that we've been expecting, the King we've been waiting for, and we'll see him. We'll see him. He's here. The angel says in verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then in verse 13, scripture says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" And so what we see here are angels and beings praising God. They're worshiping. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom he's pleased. What in the world does this mean? You see, the shepherds, they don't want to just sit around. They want to go find out. And so after the angels are gone, in verse 15 it says, "The shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" So what do? They go. They go over to Bethlehem. They go find out what's going on. They want to verify what they're hearing. Now just because I'm curious, when I read this passage, I think, When the shepherds left to go find Jesus, what did they do with their sheep? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they left pretty quickly, right? The Bible says, and they went with haste. So what did they do with their sheep? What did they do with their responsibilities? Well, I suppose maybe they just left their sheep. Maybe they were near a rock cove and they had that there and they had some extra food stashed there and they could leave their sheep there. Maybe they had other hired servants or family who could watch the sheep. I don't know. But here's what I do know. That when we encounter Jesus, we always leave something behind. Once we encounter Jesus, the things that mattered to us so much before, they matter to us less. This whole idea that business as usual, it sort of falls by the wayside. See, when we follow Jesus, we always leave something behind. You can look at this in Scripture. When it happened with Jesus calling his disciples, they left stuff behind. It happened with these shepherds. And it happens with us too. Like my story, sometimes we go off on some sort of spiritual journey trying to find something. Everybody's looking for something, right? Maybe it's peace, maybe it's love and hope and purpose in your life. Maybe you're trying to discover your identity. You want to find the perfect job that you can spend your time doing and make a good retirement. You want to save your marriage. These are all good things. But what happens is somebody already found us. And so we have all these expectations about what we're looking for, about and this working out the way we want it to. But instead of giving us only what we thought we wanted, Jesus says, "I'm here." He says, "Come. Let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water without price come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, this is Jesus' invitation to you. He's calling you. And this is what happened with these shepherds. They're thinking that they're going off to find the king. But the truth is, the king already found them. King Jesus came into the world. King Jesus sent an angel to announce his birth. And King Jesus already met these lowly shepherds right where they're at, in the midst of their daily routine. And guys, it's the same with us. In so many ways, we're waiting for a king. We're going off. We're trying to make sense of our lives. We're trying to find love and peace and hope. We're trying to find a king worth following, only to discover that the king, he's already here. And so Jesus, the king we've been waiting for, he's here. He's arrived. This is the good news of Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. Our king is here. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, the King of all creation, including you and me. He holds all things together. Now, I don't know personally why you showed up here today. Maybe you come here all the time. Maybe like when I was a kid, your parents made you come today. Maybe Christmas Eve is just one of those traditions that you have and you do this. So whatever the reason that you're here, know that Jesus, he's been expecting you. Know that he knows what you're looking for. He knows that you need security and purpose in your life. He knows that you need hope. And that's why he's here. That's why he's come. Jesus came to be your king. And he'll provide all of this for you. But the question is today, and this is really important, how will you respond? How will you respond? Because each and every one of us must respond to the coming king. We have to respond. And so I want to encourage you to respond in a way similar to these shepherds. Let's look at this. Verse 16. It says, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And so we see that the shepherds respond. Because Jesus is here, look for him. Look for him. The shepherds, they looked for their king. They searched for him. And I think it's important to remember that at this point, they didn't know his name. They didn't know what he'd look like, but they knew he was a child. They knew he was the Savior, the King, the Messiah. But what did all this mean? I can imagine that these shepherds, they likely had their own troubles. They probably didn't have much. They were probably just trying to get by, make a living, try and get through each week with enough food and shelter and water to survive. And now they find themselves looking for their Savior. And so they set out in haste, quickly getting what they need and departing on their journey. And so you need to know that whatever you're looking for in life, whatever it is that captivates your attention, Jesus is the King. And he's already here. He's humbly and patiently waiting for you. So look for him. Seek him out. And you'll find him. And just as these shepherds discover the baby lying in the manger, you'll find Jesus. You'll find him to be much greater than you could even imagine. Now, the second thing that the shepherds do in response is to tell others. And so because Jesus is here, tell others. Look at verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. What do you think the shepherds told others? Probably everything they knew. They probably told them about the angel and how they were afraid and all that the angel said. And then the multitude of the heavenly host gathering to praise God. I want you to think about this for a minute. Why do you think the shepherds, they went and they told others about what they had seen and heard? I think it's because they were so in awe of what they saw. They were so captivated by this experience. They encountered God. And so when you encounter Jesus, how do you respond? What's your response to the coming king? These shepherds, they couldn't help but go and tell others. That's what they did. It was so amazing. It was so incredible. They had to do it. Now, I can imagine that some of you may not know exactly what to think or feel or believe about Jesus coming to our world. But listen, when you see King Jesus present in your life through your eyes of faith that he gives you to see, don't just keep that to yourself. Go tell someone. Go share it with someone. God may use your telling to actually encourage someone else. He may use it to grow you into a deeper relationship with himself. You see, if King Jesus has captured your attention, if he's captured your affections, tell others around you. Because Jesus is here, tell others. This leads to the third way the shepherds responded. And that's praise. Because Jesus is here, praise him. Look at verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And so the shepherds, Mary, others, they all responded to what they saw and heard with praise. People wondered, Mary treasured what the shepherds had to say. The shepherds, they went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And so here's the truth. Jesus compels our praise. He does. You know, we gather weekly here at FBC to worship Christ. And we do this because Jesus, he actually compels our praise. He compels us to worship him. When we encounter Jesus, we praise him. It's like an automatic response. When we understand the incredible God he is and the present reality that he is in our lives, we praise him. This is our natural response as we see King Jesus through our eyes of faith. Jesus compels our praise. His presence actually leads us to gather. He leads us to sing. Jesus compels us to worship with exceedingly great joy and praise. And so in our text, we see that the shepherds, they look for him. They tell others about him. And they praise him. I realize today that some of you might be sitting here today and you're trying in one way or another to make sense of life, make sense of your circumstances, where you're at, what you're going through. You might be trying to find something that matters. You want to find hope, you want to feel loved and cared for. Others of you, you may know Christ. But life has thrown you a curveball, and life has just gotten really hard. And you may be here today, and you just feel stuck. You're discouraged, you're overwhelmed, you're buried in your circumstances. You've got maybe a relationship that just isn't working out the way you wanted it to. And so you think, it's Christmas, how am I going to do this, right? Am I going to can I just get through this weekend, this week? And so you don't know where to turn or where to go, but you're here today. You're here at First Baptist Church, First Christmas Eve service. you know what? God's here too. And he's here to meet you. He came into this world as a baby so that he could grow up and live the perfect life that you couldn't live on your own. And you know what he did? He went to the cross willingly to die in your place, to die the death that you deserve to die, conquering sin and the domain of darkness forever. He didn't stay there on the third day. He rose to life, securing eternal life for you and for me, for those who believe and trust in him. Friends, Jesus is offering to be your king today. And so I want to encourage you, instead of thinking that you've got to walk out of this place today feeling like you've got life figured out, instead of feeling like you've got to be convinced that you have all the answers to how you're going to make it through the rest of the day or tomorrow or whatever, would you hand all that over to Jesus? He desires that you'd submit yourself to him as your king, to look to him, to go and to tell others about him, to praise him, to live a life that praises him. You see, it all starts with setting aside everything else. All the blame, all the excuses, all the distractions. It's handing over the burdens, the pains, the struggles. As I learned years and years ago, to be seized by the living God, it's a fierce and terrible and beautiful thing. Business as usual, it sort of falls by the wayside. Because God's here, would you lay yourself down? Would you surrender yourself? Would you worship the King? Let's pray together. God, our good and heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible love for us. So rich and full, sending Jesus to this world so that we can encounter him and experience true life through him. Lord Jesus, we are eternally grateful for the good news of your birth. And so we look to you today. We go and we tell others about you, and we praise you by saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us again as we continue to worship through song?
Thank you for coming as you go today. May the God of hope may fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life today and tomorrow and all the days of your life, this life and the life that is to come. Amen.